It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yes, thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network, broadcasting throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and throughout the world on the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings have us once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. That is a big deal. Nielsen, by the way, is the global measurement and data analytics company. So if they have us in the top 10, that means that we're doing a decent job. Actually, an excellent job. We're going to get to that with our guest soon. I mean, he always says between 1 and 5 and a 3, as long as you're consistent. We're going to get to that, but it's radio, so I'm sorry. I got to keep you in suspense just a little bit. I open up by thanking you, the great listener of the show. It's because of you that we are in the top 10. You've come to expect great guests, great topics, all business. We have it every single week. And before I get to my guests, I want to be a mensch here and give a special thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, in particular, Cerulli, Michal, Betzalel, Chaya, Michael, Miriam, who make the show so successful. Also to the great team at 710 WOR, Darren and Robert in particular, Zev Brenner, special shout out to him, and to all those who give me feedback all the time. They stop me in a bagel store, at a gas station, as I'm leaving shul, anywhere I get stopped, I get WhatsApps, I get emails, I get phone calls. And you know what? It's appreciated because I'm just broadcasting out there to tens of thousands of listeners, and I appreciate the feedback. I do. Thank you. Also, special recognition to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. The Lakewood Scoop features business class clips every single day on Instagram. Visit them on Instagram. We're on Nucky Radio. The Jewish Home features a print summary of many Mind Your Business shows in a Q&A format. We're on Business Class Clips. That is the daily micro-learning channel that we have on WhatsApp and Instagram. If you're on WhatsApp, sign up for free by going to typing in sign up and sending it to 718-594-6519. On Instagram, we're at Business Class Clips. Just follow us there. And, of course, we're on all the popular channels, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Play.fm, and last but not least, our robust YouTube channel. When you subscribe to our YouTube channel, we're at 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Again, on YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. You will automatically be notified every single time an episode, a video episode of a show goes live. Well, without further ado, a very dear friend, Shep Hyken. Let me just tell you a little bit about Shep Hyken. First of all, he is in the Hall of Fame. Nah, not the NHL or Major League Baseball, though he's an athletic guy. He is in the National Speaker Association Hall of Fame. And out of public speakers out there, and there are many hundreds of thousands around the world, in the NSA here in America, there's only approximately 400 people in the Hall of Fame. Shep is one of them. And when you hear him tonight, you'll get a good understanding why he is. He has spoken to audiences of all sizes in arenas, stadiums, and he is recognized as one of perhaps the number one expert in the world, if not from the top 10 experts, in the area of the customer experience, customer service. Every single business can benefit from tonight's show. Whether you're a business of one, a business of many, at the end of the day, customer service, the customer experience is the core, is the heart of any business. If a business has not mastered that, you may get a customer once, but they won't be back. And that's why tonight's show is talking about Shep's brand new book, I'll Be Back. Shep Hyken, welcome back to Mind Your Business.
It is great to be back. What an introduction. Thank you.
You deserve it. Very much. But you deserve it. This is not just a spiel. You deserve
it. My mom is looking down from up above going, wow, I'm a proud mama.
Nachas, nachas, nachas. Tonight's show, we're going to discuss quite a bit how to get customers to say, I'll be back, creating an emotional connection with customers. And we're going to discuss also how technology has changed things. So, Shep, I'm going to open up with the following. In this book, and thank you, by the way, for sending me a personalized hardcover copy. Really, really special. in the book, you have, and you know, it's amazing how many techniques you incorporate along the way. There's a great feature, and that is you don't just have just a, a basic table of contents, and every book has a basic table of contents, but you have a, in the beginning, you have a section called Get Ready. What will I learn from this book? And so smart. And we break down chapter by chapter. Now, the book has so much to cover, so I'd actually like to go through in our roughly 45-minute conversation, giving each chapter roughly 3-4 minutes per chapter. And in part one, the basics of customer loyalty, you have chapter one about the Arnie.
Yeah.
Shep, all yours.
Wow. Wow. So first of all, thank you very much. And
of
I put
course.
My glasses on because you're going to make me look at what every chapter
okay.
is. I'll be back. Take a look
yes.
at that font. Does that remind you of anything?
Retro.
It's retro. It's called the Terminator font. There's an
right.
actual font tied to the movie Terminator.
Right.
Now, when I first started writing this book, and it's titled I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again, I didn't even think about the Terminator until about 3 paragraphs into my formulation of the outline. At the very beginning, I thought, who made these words famous? Arnold Schwarzenegger
That's
and the
right.
Terminator.
That's right.
So what the first chapter focuses on, and by the way, other than a few references to the Terminator, this book is not something that's about the Terminator. No, I do talk about why would customers terminate their relationship
right.
with you. In the beginning, I make mention about Arnold, and that's what the first chapter is about. If you want to get your customers to come back, you need to win the award, and the award is the Arnie. Just like there's the Oscar in acting, there's the Grammys in music, you know, all there the Tonys for Broadway and musicals and plays. The Arnie is when the customer says, I'll be back.
That is great.
In a good way. By the way, in the movie, the first time he said it, he was coming back to blow up the police station. I'll be back. But after that, it was for good things. Well, this is a good thing. When your customer says, I'll be back. And so I have a few references to Arnold Schwarzenegger in that first chapter. But outside of that, you know, we get into it and everybody now understands why I wrote the book, to get your customers to say, I'll be back and come back again and again.
Now, Shep, in chapter 2, you have notation here about the most important measurement in business.
Yes.
Perhaps you could explain that, and feel free to take more than 3 minutes on this one because it's a key metric.
Right. It is good. And it's and so here, let's talk about why the whole book came about in the first place. And this is the chapter that does that. Number one, I'm talking with a client years ago. I'm working with them and I'm talking about how they measure their success as it applies to service and experience. And the guy says, well, we do what everybody else does. We look at our customer satisfaction scores, like on a scale of 1 to 10. Did you like our service? Did you like our product? Net promoter score. What's the likelihood you would recommend us? And then we both agreed that these are great lessons to learn from our customers, great feedback, but they're history lessons. It's what happened yesterday on your most recent experience, given your past history with us, et cetera, et cetera. What he said he likes to measure is behavior. And I go, tell me what you mean. And he said, I want to know if our customers are coming back on the same cadence or routine that a regular customer would normally come back. Now, this guy was in the hair salon business, and I was asked to speak to 1,000 managers and owners of franchises in the hair salon business, and which I think is kind of funny given that I'm the bald guy. And how am I going to do my market research? You know, but I digress. And I said, well, tell me what you mean. He says, well, let's say you're a certain type of, you know, a guy with a regular head of hair might come in once a month, once every 6 weeks. Somebody else with longer hair that once their hair colored might come in more often or at a different routine or a mm-hmm. cadence. He says, our goal is to move these different types of customers into the routine of a repeat customer. And I thought, wow, that's brilliant. So here's what you want your customers to say. I'll be back. And then they actually do come back. And that's what this is about. The most important measurement, I believe, is the behavior. Does the customer actually come back?
Nothing speaks like real results. Nothing speaks underrated. If they're coming back, that means you're doing a great job.
It's pretty simple when you think about it. And then I know we're going to get into this in a few minutes, but we need to understand the difference between repeat business, which is what we're striving for, and loyal business. So that's a hint of what's to come up a few chapters from now.
Well, that's a tease. We're going to be going to a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Shep Hyken, the world-renowned customer service and customer experience expert. We'll be right back.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luke Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
If you're running a business, you know how hard it is to penetrate your target market, but I'm looking to change that. Hi, I'm Yitzhak Saflis, host of the Mind Your Business Show and CEO of Bottom Line Marketing Group. Visit bottomlinemg.com, that's bottomlinemg.com, to get an idea for how we can help your business grow and increase market share. Call me for a free marketing consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Gotta go. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WR. And we're speaking with the world-renowned customer service and customer experience expert, Shep Hyken. We're talking about his brand-new book. By the way, it is available. You could order it today. I'm not going to say order it tomorrow. Order it today. Don't push it off. You want to grow your business? Order it today. I'll never forget when we were talking about one of your previous releases. Let's see, which one was it? The white cover.
Convenience Revolution.
Okay, Convenience Revolution was one of the show. Mm-hmm. Be Amazing or Go Home. There we go.
Oh, Be Amazing or Go Home. Yep.
A good friend of mine, Aaron Hertz, special shout out to Aaron. He said, you know what? I ought to order this for my staff. I said, you know, you're one smart guy. It's true. And he said it was amazing. And Lombardi time. So many... You know what? Let's carve out a couple of seconds. It's worth it. Could you explain the importance about being prompt, even being early?
Lombardi time. Some may not know this. Vince Lombardi, famous football coach, and you don't have to love football to appreciate what he said. He wanted his players to show up on time. So he says, hey, everybody, you show up 15 minutes early. And if you're not 15 minutes early, it means you're late. And he called that Lombardi time. When I was a little kid, I was doing magic shows at birthday parties, and I figured out how to do as many shows as possible in one day. So what I did is I had my box of tricks. I would get dropped off. And by the way, I'm 12, 13 years old at the time, right? Mm-hmm. I'd get dropped off. I open up my box and the tricks are ready to go. I put them up on top. I do the trick. I put it back in the box exactly where it's supposed to go, ready for the next show. And then when I get to the next show, and I said, where do you want me to perform? They go right over there in the corner. And like in 60 seconds, I'm ready to go. So I would show up a few minutes before it was time for me to perform. And my dad said, you know, at what point in the time, when you're getting ready to perform and you're not there yet, when do you think the parents start looking at their watch to see, is the magician going to show up for their kid's birthday party? I said, I don't know, Dad. I mean, I tell them I'm going to be there at 1 o'clock. If I'm there a few minutes before one, wouldn't that make them happy? He goes, think about it. At some point, they're going to say, I wonder if he's going. I go, what, 15, 20 minutes early? He goes, exactly. You need to show up 15 to 20 minutes early every time, or else they're going to start looking at their watch, wondering you're going to show up at all, Why cause them that stress? Now, what that meant is in an afternoon, that's one less magic show that I'm going to perform, but it's also no stress for the customers, which is more important, which makes them happy. Because if they had stress as I walked in the door, no matter how good my magic show was, it's tainted with that negative experience on the front end. So my dad, without even telling me it was Lombardi time, and I was probably, if I don't know when Lombardi said it, but he didn't get it from Lombardi, but it's the same thing. He goes, if you're 15 minutes early, it means you're on time. So,
you know what's great about that? Yeah, okay.
If you go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, okay, and Lambeau Field, there's a huge clock, and it's off by 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes fast. And for those that don't know, they're going, why is that clock wrong? But everybody who knows, it's Lombardi time.
I know it's great. Childhood experience. Childhood experiences. Yep. Well, your dad got that into your kishkis, as they say. He got it right into the kishkis. We're talking about Shep's brand new release, I'll Be Back. In the first segment, we covered in a concise way Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. We are now up to Chapter 3, the foundational concepts. And in it, some of my favorite conversations, the moment of truth, the moment of misery, moment of mediocrity, and the moment of magic.
Yes. So the moment of truth, anytime a customer comes into contact with any aspect of a business, they form an impression. That's the moment of truth. Jan Carlson came up with this idea in the early 1980s. He ran an airline and he said, moments of truth can be good or bad. We must make them good. He was turning around an airline that was losing millions of dollars. And if everybody would just manage those moments of truth and make a positive experience, by the way, it doesn't have to be over the top, blow me away, but it's got to be pleasant. A smile, that may be all it takes. That's going to make, if every moment of truth happens and the customer says, you know, this was really good, they're going to fly on the airline again. So I call those positive moments of truth, moments of magic. Anything negative, complaints, problems, or just a negative experience or an apathetic experience is a moment of misery. And then in the middle, something I came up with is the average experience, which I title a moment of mediocrity. Now, mediocrity is very dangerous because it's one thing to know you did a bad job because the customer complains. Know you did a great job because the customer gives you accolades. Right. But what about mediocrity? They don't say anything. But because they don't say anything, most people say, oh, they must be happy. Not necessarily. It was just okay, average, just all right. And what happens when it's just all right, you don't know which way they're leaning. Is it just all right leaning toward, oh, I wish I could find someone else? Or is it leaning toward, hey, let me give him another try. I'll bet it's going to be good, you know, whatever. And you're having the opportunity. But mediocrity or average is dangerous. So you mentioned this kind of early,
yeah,
where you said, you know, a little better than average. Yeah. A little better than average all of the time. And when I say a little bit better, even slightly better. And what that means, it's like if you're in a business where employees are interacting with customers and, you know, an employee walks by a customer, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to make it a little bit better, the employee looks the customer in the eye and says, good morning, good afternoon. That's not much better. But when that's happening consistently, that type of experience, just minor, little better than average, the whole thing is like, wow, those people are always friendly. They're always helpful. They're always, you know, the word always followed by something positive. And that's, to me, a foundational concept. And if you go into every one of my books, starting with the very first one many, many years ago, actually about three decades ago,
wow,
Moments of Magic is what it was titled. I'm talking about it then, and I include a little bit of this in every book and every speech that I do.
And I remember when you talk about, for example, the Ritz-Carlton. Ritz-Carlton is you know, over the top, is amazing, is five stars.
They're not over the top, though.
They're not. Explain that.
No. But they appear to be so because they're consistently and predictably better than average. And people say, I like going to do business there because they're always friendly. They're always helpful. You know, they always are paying attention. Again, that word always. So Horst Schulze, the first president and co-founder of the Ritz-Carlton, said, you know, all you need to do to become an iconic brand is to be just a little bit better than average all of the time. And I said, well, that's exactly my philosophy. But let's put a number to it. How much better than average do you have to be? And his words, he said, simple, 10%.
Wow.
Now think about what average is on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 is bad. 5 is amazing.
Right. 3 is average.
Is average. 3.3.
Wow.
That's it. A 3.3 or better all of the time. You don't drip into mediocrity. You don't drop back into moments of misery. You stay. By the way, if you have a moment of misery, it's oftentimes an opportunity to prove how good you are and recognize that the complaint is a gift. But it, you know, a lot of people let moments of misery happen, complaints, problems, and they just don't ever say anything, at least to the company, about it. So, but what Horst was saying is that 10% better than average is going to create an iconic brand for your organization. You'll be world class.
Such a fantastic insight, because people strive for excellence, and that's great. But listen, if someone could be great, it's very nice. But what's far more important is consistency, day in and day out.
Yeah, and think about this. I'm going to put it into golfing terms, and sure. And I'm a hack. I play golf. I have a good time. So do I want to once in a while hit one far and down the middle, like off the drive, or do I want to, you know, so let's say I can hit it 280, 300 yards. That's a long drive, right?
Sure.
And if I do that once every 3 or 4 times, people will say, wow, he really can hit the ball far. But you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather not hit it as far, but always be in the middle, okay? In the golf, that's important, that consistent, predictable, in the good position, and now we'll hit a second shot. But if you hit it into the woods, it's not good. What you're looking for is consistency and predictability. That's what our customers want from us.
We're speaking with Shep Hyken. We're talking about his brand new release, I'll Be Back. It is available. Certainly, if you Google it on Amazon, you can get it already now, hardcover, softcover. It is one incredible book. And in the beginning, he has a few pages, rather than just a plain old table of contents, which, of course, he has, but even more insightful. He has a section called Get Ready. What will I learn from this book? So, Shep, now we turn to chapter 4, the culture challenge. And in particular, what is an I'll be back working culture?
Sure. Well, I think regardless of what you do, it has to be in the culture. Customer service is not a department. It's a philosophy that gets embraced by everybody within an organization. So we take people who read the book, take the reader, and ideally their company, because I want this book not just to be read, I want it to be used. And number one, you want to, the principle is everyone has to be in it to win it. In other words, we've got to get everybody into alignment. We've got to create internally the golden rule, which is to treat the people internally, our employees, the way we want our customers to be treated. You know, remember the old golden rule? And it's not the one that he who has the gold makes the rules. No, it's golden rule, do unto others as you want done unto yourself. Well, this is do unto your employees like you want done unto your customer. Empower your people to do so. Put it in writing. What's your definition of what a great customer experience is? You know, we talked about the Ritz-Carlton. Their definition, they call it their credo, is we're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And we want everybody to grasp that and hold on to it. Recognize that leadership sets the tone. What's happening on the inside of the organization is going to be felt on the outside. And finally, I want you to hire for amazement. I want you to hire the right people. And then I want you to train them. And if you don't consistently train, by the way, I said finally, that's not necessarily, there's one extra step, and that is to make sure that your people who are at the top, your leadership, your management, your supervisors, understand how to coach to good customer experience. And that means one-on-one mentoring your own people and giving them the feeling that, you know, I'm doing a great job. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I know it's right. The only way that happens is from great feedback from the people who you work with.
Shep, moving to chapter 5, and that is nothing has changed in customer service. I mean, if it's okay, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I mean, you own a phone. You know there's something called the internet. How could you say nothing has changed in the world of customer service? How could you say that?
Well, okay. So let's go back to the beginning of time, the first ever interaction. And maybe the customer said, I've got a problem. Will you help me? Okay. There was no technology back then. It was probably everything. As a matter of fact, there is somewhere in one of these famous museums, there's a tablet, probably came from ancient times in the Holy Land, where somebody carved a message. I am not happy. Please help me. And this message was hand-delivered to whoever it was. But it's the oldest customer service letter. I wrote about this years ago. I got to go read that again. It's a fun article. Anyway, and so here's what happened. Customer had an issue, a problem, a question. Maybe it was a complaint. Maybe they just needed help. And at the end, it was resolved in such a way that they were happy. That is what's happening today. That's what's going to happen 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now. It's not going to change. So that is why I say nothing has really changed. Now, the way we go about it, yes, there's technology, there's innovation, and that is not impacting the overall experience from the standpoint of how we go about it, not what it's all about. What it's all about is customers here at the beginning and at the end, they are happy with whatever happened. And in the middle, sure, there's technology. There's the internet. There's frequently asked question pages. There's video tutorials. There's artificial intelligent chatbots interacting with the customer. But you know what? At the end, if that customer, no matter how you deliver the answers or meet their needs, if they're not happy, they're not happy. What we are focusing on is customer has a need, complaint, issue, whatever. At the end, they need to be happy. How you get there, I don't really care. As long as at the end they're happy and they say, I want to come back.
Great point. Great point. So technology is a tool. It's simply a tool. But
exactly.
The nature of someone appreciating your product or your service has never changed and will never change. It's just the way, you know, today some people go directly to Twitter and of course technology opened up so many different channels for people to compliment or to vent. But at the end of the day, if your product is winning your customers over, I'll be back. They'll be back. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we return, we're going to go to the second part of this book called titled Making Loyalty a Reality. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at brandspaycheck.com. That's brandspaycheck.com.
And we're back talking about I'll Be Back. We're here with Shep Hyken. By the way, for all those that are enjoying the show, we are videoing it as well. And if you subscribe to our YouTube channel for free, you will automatically be notified when this episode goes live on YouTube. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're at 710-WOR, Mind Your Business. Again, on YouTube, 710-WOR, Mind Your Business. When you subscribe, It's all free. You will automatically be notified every single time we upload. And tonight's show with Shep Hyken is a must-watch. By the way, Shep, some of your previous episodes have gotten easily over 5,000 views by now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
They
honored.
Yeah, because you have amazing content. By the way, this is not Shep's first book. You've written eight. This is number eight now?
This is number eight, yes.
Number eight.
Plus some co-authored books. The other day, somebody said, you keep saying this is number eight. How come I'm counting 12? Because I have a bunch of co-authored books out there as well that I did with other people.
Amazing. And Shep is known as the world's foremost customer service, customer experience expert. He speaks around the world. He's in the NSA Hall of Fame. And that's why we say a special thank you, because he's gracious enough to come on whenever we ask him and to share his incredible insights into the world of the customer experience. And let's face it, every single business out there can benefit when it comes to knowledge of the customer experience. And with that, Shep, let's discuss now part two of your book, which opens with chapter six. You touched on this earlier, but you have a whole chapter on it. Perhaps you could just, and because it's such a key point, want to be amazing? Just be better than average. All of the time.
Yeah. So we've talked about that. And one of the foundational concepts is about moments of truth, misery, magic, mediocrity. Remember, I mentioned 10%, 10% better than average. Here's what you want your customers to say. Whenever I do business with them, they are always so friendly. They're always so knowledgeable. They're always so helpful. Even when there's a problem, I know I can always count on them. That word always followed by something positive is what you're looking for. That means it is a predictable experience. Customers love consistency and predictability. It gives them confidence. Confidence is an emotion, and that emotion is what drives customer loyalty.
We're going to go to chapter seven, the shortest customer service speech in history. Now, by the way, Shep, I don't know if you lost count already. You've probably given over 2,000, 2,500 speeches around the world.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time.
Long
and
time.
At one point, I did my busiest year, I did 189
wow.
presentations. Now, wow. think about that. Yeah, my wife, this is true. I came home one day and my wife said, you need to stop this. We were doing great financially. This is wonderful. She goes, but you're never home. And one day you're going to come home and there's not going to be anybody here. The furniture's going to be gone. All of her kids are going to be gone. Why? Because we're moving. Because that's the end of that. I go, okay, I get it. I get it. Typically in a good year of this, forget about COVID and all that. We do about 50 presentations a year on stage. Now, during COVID, I probably did 150 presentations. They were all virtual. But and by the way, what a great way. This is a side note. Mm-hmm. In the world of business, people say, wow, COVID changed a lot. No, it didn't. It accelerated a lot. Zoom always, there was still Zoom before COVID. There was Microsoft Teams and right. Skype before mm-hmm. COVID. What happened is we adopted these technologies that were already there. And it's the same in customer experience. We adapted technologies that customers are using more and more. It's the same in other parts of the business world as well. I think what we did is we were accelerated into an era that we're 3 to 5 years ahead of where we would normally have been, but it would have happened eventually anyway. It just was condensed and sped up. So anyway,
the shortest customer service.
How do we get off on that?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Whirl. Okay.
Yes.
Rabbit hole.
The shortest speech you've ever done.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So I love this one. And the message is, and there's a foundational concept here as well. Let me do the setup of the story.
Sure.
So I'm at a meeting. I'm the closing keynote speaker, 40 minutes. And the client says, I don't care what time you go on. You have to end on time because our people are getting picked up and taken to another venue. We have to be in the buses ready to go. I don't care if we start you early, just end on time. If we start you late, end on time. No problem. I do this all the time. I have to adjust. Well, here's what happened. All the speakers ahead of me went really long. And by the time it was my turn, it wasn't like I had 40 minutes left. No, not even 20 minutes. I had 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And so the client says, well, I'm really sorry.
From
you're
40.
Not going on. I go, Yes, I am. I'm going on. I've got something to say to these people in 2 minutes. So the first thing I said when they introduced me, and there was a pause, I said, before we go any further, I know some of you are looking at your watches, knowing we have to be out of here on time. We will get out of here on time.
So smart. So you already relaxed them. You relaxed the mind.
Right, right. Which doesn't leave me a lot of time. So let's pretend I was just introduced. You know I don't have much time. I walk out here. Here's the applause. You're about to hear the shortest customer service speech in the world. And I looked out at the audience. I said, are you ready? Be nice. And then I turn around and I walked toward the wings. And then I stopped and I came back to the microphone. I said, okay, I know. Two words, be nice. And you know what? I still have about 45, 50 seconds left. So let me just say that this is not fluff. This is actually foundational. Being nice is really important. If you're a restaurant that serves the best food in the world, but the person who seated you was not friendly, the server was terrible and not friendly, and they were rude to you, are you ever going to come back? No. Foundational. No matter how good your product is, you must at least be nice. Now, I've got a lot more to say about this. I've written a number of books on it. So you know what? I'll be back. Get that? I'll be back next year to give you part two of being nice. Hopefully I'll have a little bit more time. Enjoy yourselves. Thank you very much. I walk off stage. But that's what this is about. I was forced to come up with something, and I thought, well, that's it. And isn't that so found? I don't care what you could sell, you know, military missiles, okay? If you have a relationship with the person who's buying, at least you're cordial and nice, okay? And then you deliver the service and the experience and, of course, the product. And, of course, if you're selling something like a T-shirt or you're selling a piece of manufacturing equipment that's going to help a company be more successful, just in the process, be friendly, be nice, because you want your customers to say, like we talked about in the last chapter, you know what? They're always so friendly and nice.
You know, I wish there was a survey done after that experience, because
there is a survey.
No,
there is a survey
from that, because there's no question that the people will probably rate that your presentation the best one.
I don't know about that, but no, the survey I'm referring to. And by the way, if anybody wants to go to this website, it's hiken.com/2021. That's for this year. Dash ACA for achieving customer amazement. Hiken.com/2021.
H-Y-K-E-N, right? H-Y-K-E-N.
And what you get, yeah, H-Y-K-E-N, thank you. What you get is my research from this year on achieving customer amazement. And in this research, we asked, what are the most important attributes of a good customer experience? And you want to know what the number one, you know, it was like, just be nice, okay? Why would somebody leave you? And by the way, we'll talk about that in the termination chapter. Why terminator customers terminate the relationship? Number one is apathy or rudeness, which is like the opposite of nice, okay? And this means to a customer, I don't care what kind of business you're in, foundationally, it's real simple. You know, you respect people and you act in a cordial way.
We're going to move on to chapter 8. How to create real customer loyalty.
Yeah, that's a great one. So chapter 8, let me get to chapter 8.
Want to discuss the difference, let's say, between loyalty.
Right, right. And so that's what this chapter is about.
Right. The difference, I would even say specifically, what's the difference, as you explain in this chapter, between a repeat customer And a loyal customer,
right. So this is, to me, so important to understand why. Earlier today, I did an interview for Latin America customer experience professionals. And the first question was, how important is it for you to understand your customers? Well, there's two levels of understanding. One is to understand their needs. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to happen in the process of selling to the customer. But the other is to understand why they do business with you and not the competition. And understanding that will open up the world, the why. So we think they're loyal because they keep coming back, but we don't know, other than their behavior, which looks like they're coming back, which we've talked about, the reason they come back might not be as obvious as you think. Well, why do you do business with us? you know what? You guys are closer than your competition. What happens if the competition moves in closer than us? Well, I'll probably go to them instead. It means that they're loyal to your location, not to your business. If I'm a restaurant and I've got a punch card where every time you come in, I punch that you were here for lunch. And on the fifth time, I give you a free lunch. That's basically not a, that people, oh, I've got a great loyalty program. It gets people to come back. No, you've got a discount program that gets people to come back because you're giving them essentially a free meal every five times, which is like a 20% discount, you know? And so why are they coming back? Is it the punch card or is it the experience and the food? You need to understand the why. You know, Yitzhak, the airlines are a great example of this. I ask people all the time, and I don't know how much travel you do, but people who travel a lot tend to fly on one airline. And do they fly? Why do they fly on that airline? A lot of times because they start to accumulate airline miles in the frequent flyer mile program. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to accumulate miles, you might as well accumulate them on one airline. It gets you to the free trip faster than spreading it out over a bunch where it takes longer. You follow what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but and if, like you say, that's a marketing initiative. That's not
right. It's so people call it, oh, we got a great loyalty program or frequent flyer program. No, that's a marketing program. And by the way, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Anything that drives repeat business, I'm 100% for. Bottom line marketing, your company, this is what you do. You get customers to come back again and again. Now, my goal is once they start coming back again and again, I want to convert them to an emotional connection that creates not just repeat business, but loyal business. But if the airlines were to take away the miles, and I mean every airline, not just the one that we're flying, if every airline takes away the mileage program, no more perks, no more miles, just fly on us because you like us. I ask, would you still fly on that same airline? And you know what? Most people say, you know what? I don't think so. Isn't that interesting? They're tied to the airline. And some people even spend more money on the airline just to get the miles. I'm guilty of that, you know? And I don't know if that's guilty or not, but that's something I've done in the past.
Such a great point.
Take a look at two, you know, it's like, hey, I got to fly through Chicago to get here, but it's on my airline. Or it's $25 more to fly on my airline, but I get the miles, you know? So, everybody does that. And that's because they've created a great repeat business program. Again, I love the program, nothing wrong with it. But if the miles go away, we need to be creating an experience that won't lose our customers.
We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, and of course, we're speaking with Shep Hike, and we're discussing his brand new release, I'll Be Back, which is available, hardcover, paperback, and of course, in digital versions. By the way, is there also an audiobook on it? Or will there be?
Yes, there is. The audiobook is actually out and available. I'm very excited, and it's the first one that I personally read the entire book myself, which, by the way, was not fun.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I wrote it, and then I rewrote it, and I edited it, and I wrote it again. I wrote it again, and then the publisher says, now I want you to read it. And I went,
Wow.
But I did, and it was quite an experience, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
I'm sure it's great. I mean, I'm sure it's great. But the Wall Street Journal had an article about that not so long ago where they talked about, you know, reading a book is a real unique experience. It really is.
It is.
Unique experience.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because writing, I write the way I speak, mm-hmm. okay? So I write very, I guess, loosely, if you will.
Yeah.
Then the editor comes in from the publishing company and changes it to be more readable because it sounds good when I read it out loud. But if you're reading it without my voice, you need to change it. It needs to be more grammatically correct. So when I go back and I read it exactly the way it's supposed to be written, not heard, it's like really hard.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. We'll be back with Shep right after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. Oh, when do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
And we're back. Yitzhak Saftler's here on the Mind Your Business Show on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. We are with Shep Hyken, the world's leading customer experience expert. And we're talking about his new book, I'll Be Back, which is available, of course, on Amazon and bookstores nationwide. We are going to, in this round, we have a couple minutes left, go through the remaining chapters, and we'll call it a lightning round because he has so much to cover. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he, again, gave an amazing customer service experience speech in under 2 minutes. So there's no question. If there's someone that can do it, it's Shep. Shep, chapter 9, where everybody knows your name.
That's I love this. It's like the Cheers TV show from back in the 80s, you know, where everybody knows your name. That was the theme song. You know, where do you want to go? Where everybody knows you. It's a great song, but it's a great reminder that customers love to feel like they're connected to the company. So what can we do to create a personal experience or a personalized experience? Do we remember them from the last time? Are we able to say, hey, when they call us, we pull up their profile. I notice that you've called about this before. I noticed that you've bought this in the past. Let's let them know they're not just a number. They're not just a customer. They're a human being doing business with us.
Shep, chapter 10 in your new book, I'll Be Back. What do you stand for? Why is it so critical for a company to have that so clear in their mind and that they communicate it to the masses?
Well, if you take a look at the younger generation today, when I say younger, it's the Gen Zs and millennials. They love doing business with companies that have, they take a stance on something. And it could be a community thing. If you're a local business, it could be a much larger cause. Think about Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson. Sure. He has an arm of his business called Virgin Unite, which is all about the charitable part of his business. And that's very important to a group of customers that choose to do business with this airline and this brand simply because they're involved with things that are important causes. It can be, as I mentioned, if you're a small business on a local level, you have the opportunity to compete against the big, huge competition. It's David versus Goliath. And if remember, who wins? David wins. And one of the ways is do community really, really well. Get involved, give back, and your customers care.
Chapter 11, self-service. Give the customer control if it creates a better experience.
Yeah, and this is the digital experience. And we talk a little bit about this in The Convenience Revolution, which is one of the books I did a while back. We've talked about that. And self-service is now an expected thing. As a matter of fact, our survey from the Achieving Customer Amazement Report says 41% of your customers will go digital first to try to find the answer rather than make the phone call. And I predict when I ask the same question for the 2022 survey that we're going to see an increase in that number because more people have adopted the self-service digital experience because they know they can get their answers quicker, get their questions resolved, complaints perhaps even resolved much faster.
By the way, earlier in the show, you made a very gracious offer about your ACA survey. Again, how can people get access to that?
Just go to hyken.com, H-Y-K-E-N.com, /2021-2021-ACA for Achieving Customer Amazement. And there's all kinds of stats and facts. And this report is great for saying, okay, good information, but it should be the fuel that you need to propel you to wanting to do something in the area of customer service and experience. If you wanted to make some type of investment, these are the facts and stats that will help you make that decision and give you the confidence to do so.
Now, in chapter 12 in your brand new book, I'll Be Back, No Friction, Please.
Yeah, we're going back to, and it ties into self-service. Self-service is one of the convenience principles, but really, at the end of the day, no friction. If you can avoid it anywhere, do it. If we're asking our customers, for example, you asked me at the break, so Shep, I assume you have a lead capture. In other words, they have to give me, whoever gets there has to give me their email address to get this report. Well, if you go into the main page of my website, it'll say sign up for my report, my newsletter. But what I just gave you, that URL is direct to the report. Click on it, it opens up. No lead capture. Here's what we've learned. All the stats say, if you gate it, by asking for information like an email address, you're going to have far less people actually download it. Some people say it's 10 times more will read your information and take your information if they don't have to share who they are. And you know what? If you love my information, you're going to reach out to me and talk to me anyway. Right. So why make it hard? So if you think about any place in the process of doing business, in this case, it's asking for an email address. But if you create an extra step, eliminate it. If there's an extra whatever obstacle to doing business with you, figure out ways to eliminate it. Reduce, if not eliminate, the friction.
And the next few minutes, we're going to cover the next three chapters. Chapter 13, I love this one. You can't automate a relationship, especially in today's day and age. But still, Shep says it, you cannot automate a relationship.
So just as if we're talking about the self-service solutions from chapter 11 and even some of the convenience ideas and no friction, if you choose to do too much automation, you're going to get out of balance and you're going to start to lose the emotional connection you potentially have with your customers. So keep it in balance. Don't become enamored by your technology. Recognize that no matter what technology you have out there to help drive the experience, make it easy if the customer chooses to do so to get to a customer service rep, a human agent, a salesperson, as easy as possible. No friction.
Now, in chapter 14 is a delicate one. You're terminated. So I'm going to ask you the question, how can you keep customers from ending their relationship with your company? And the other side, when does it make sense to cut ties with a customer potentially?
Sure. So we have 10 terminators. And by the way, there are many more than 10, but these are 10 that were most obvious to you. And looking at the statistics from the ACA report, when we did our research, some of these are the top reasons. For example, an apathetic experience means it looks like the people just don't care. So why should I care about doing business with you long term? Rudeness, which is just, it sounds worse than apathy, but at least it evokes some type of emotional connection where they go, I don't like them because they're rude to me. that's emotional. Making it hard to find a human and getting information. Have you ever gone to a website looking for a phone number? You had to dig and dig and dig for 10 minutes because they buried it so deep because really they wanted you to use other ways of getting to them. Well, that's going to irritate a customer. So there's a number of those terminators. And then we close the chapter with three reasons customers should be fired, why you would want to terminate a customer. And one of my favorites is simply, they're rude to us. So rude that they use foul language. Perhaps they even have racial slurs toward whoever they're talking to. It is time for a leader to step in and say, ho, 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 wait a minute. This isn't the way we like to do business. Let me introduce you to our competitor. You can go do that with them. But by the way, I always say, no matter how bad it gets, leave the door open just in case this customer has a change of heart, just in case they really change, or perhaps that person that was rude was let go and somebody new comes in and wants to reestablish the relationship with you.
Shep, the final piece of the book, the final chapter, chapter 15, Where the Rubber Meets the Road.
Yes, it does. So here is how you create the I'll be back experience. There's a six-step process, and I'll go through this quick and do this in a team setting. Number one, ask, why would someone do business with me instead of the competition? Don't say things easy like, oh, we have great service. Everybody does. What are the true differentiators? Number two, why would a customer do business with them, the competitor, instead of us? And write those down. Number three, keep pace. If the competitor is doing something that you're not doing that you should be doing, go ahead and do it, but make it your own. Give it a little twist. Give it something to keep you from being just the same as. Number four, go outside your own industry. This is where you get to become best in class, not just best in industry. And that means you ask, who are the companies we love doing business with? Any type of company, B2B, B2C, doesn't matter. And why? That why is real important, because in step five, you're going to take a look at those whys and the why do you love doing business with them? And you're going to say, are they doing anything that we could be doing that we're not doing? And that means you're grabbing ideas from companies completely outside of your industry, and you're starting to incorporate them into what you do. And then step six is to ask yourself the question, similar to the first one, now that we've done all this, then you ask the same question, why would someone do business with me? That's how you create that I'll be back experience.
Oh, when I do a show with Shep, the time goes so fast. I want to remind the listeners here, the book, I'll Be Back, the brand new release from Shep, is available in bookstores nationwide and, of course, on Amazon. This wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night, every Sunday night at 10 p.m. here on 710 WOR for Mind Your Business. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.